The following broadcast is from our vast Compassion Radio archives.
On today's Compassion Radio.
We designed the stainless steel bin, and I got a friend to do it. He wasn't so keen in the beginning because they thought, what are we doing here, getting babies dumped in bins? Then I kind of thought about it, how are we going to know the baby's there? And especially with our cold winters coming, we thought maybe the baby would be dead, and that would be very traumatic. So we designed a polystyrene base with little sensors. As soon as the baby comes into the bin, the bell goes off in the house, and the person in the house who's there 24 hours a day comes out and fetches the baby. So within 2 minutes, the baby's inside.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Imagine standing over the crib of a boy, born without a name. His eyes open, and a smile washes across his face. He wants to be picked up. Imagine that this boy only days ago came a breath away from dying on the streets. You bend over his crib and stroke his head, and then you decide his name will be Nathan. Hello and welcome to the daily ministry broadcast journal that takes you to the places where God's hand is at work. One of the most needed and practical ministries anywhere in the world is happening right now on the streets of Johannesburg, South Africa. Dozens of babies are being rescued from certain death every month by an amazing group of people who take God's word seriously. Today you'll hear how our involvement began back in the year 2000 as you meet Cheryl Allen. Compassion Radio partners are still helping to rescue babies, and we'll tell you how later in the broadcast. Here's Norm.
In the city of Johannesburg, South Africa, I gently stroke the cheek of a little baby whose name is Nathan. That name Nathan, which is a biblical name, of course, was given to this little guy by the loving Christians who are caring for him now. Actually, we don't know what his real name is, or even if he was ever given a name by his mother, because, you see, Nathan was found abandoned by the side of a highway. Even now, a couple of months later, Nathan tenses up when he hears the sound of traffic going by on the street outside the Door of Hope Mission. It's a rather awesome reminder of how trauma can impact the senses of even a tiny, vulnerable baby. You know, I fell in love with little Nathan. Over the several days that Cheryl and I were in South Africa, I spent quite a bit of time holding Nathan, cuddling him, feeding him, burping him, and even walking outdoors with him, showing him the beauty of the white roses that were blooming lavishly beside the building. Now, Nathan, you should know, is just one of many abandoned babies that have been rescued and are being cared for today by the Door of Hope Project based in Johannesburg, South Africa. You see, we believe that the most appropriate gift that we can give is a gift of life and love to these abandoned little ones. So, toward that end, both today and tomorrow, you're going to hear an interview that I did in Johannesburg with a woman named Cheryl Allen, who is the founder and the director of this Door of Hope ministry. Cheryl is actually a remarkable servant of the Lord, and she's working in one of the toughest places that I've ever seen. What you're going to hear for these 2 days is, I believe, going to touch your heart. And I really do hope that your heart is touched, because from your heart, you can move into action to save the lives of little babies whom Christ loves. Well, let's get started with part one of my conversation with Cheryl Allen in Johannesburg, South Africa. Well, our guest is Cheryl Allen, who founded a marvelous ministry that you have heard about called the Door of Hope. Cheryl, I want to welcome you to Life at Its Best.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Cheryl, the Berea Church is located in an area of Johannesburg that is probably not the safest place in the world. Could you tell us a little bit about that neighborhood in which the church is located and how did you came to be there?
Yes, the area is quite a dangerous area. It used to be a white area, and a lot of Jewish people lived in and built a lot of flats. And then as people came from various countries all over Africa, they moved into Hillbrow. I actually asked them why they came to that particular area, and it was because of the Hillbrow Tower. the post office tower, which they see on postcards in it. And so they're all headed for Johannesburg, which is a golden city, hoping to get jobs and money. In my church, I have 16 nations represented that come from all over Africa. And it's a pretty rough area. It's very difficult to live there. Unemployment is very high. We have the highest murder rate and rape rate in the world, I'm told. And so it's pretty rough on the streets.
Now, one of the really terrible things about that area is the fact that in the city of Johannesburg, 30 babies a month, I understand, are abandoned by desperate women. And when you found out about that, you decided to do something about it. Tell us a little bit about the Door of Hope and how it is that God led you to start this very special ministry.
We were praying as a church because we're only a small church in this big area, and we were asking the Lord what He wanted us as a church to do. So we'd been praying about it for a long time. Then one Saturday in our local newspaper, there was a picture of a little white baby that was, it looked like it was sleeping in the top of the dirt box on some newspaper, but it was dead by the time it was found. So that was quite a shocking picture because it really gripped our hearts and our emotions. And then on the Tuesday, one of my leaders, they found a baby in a plastic bag in the dirt box near where he stays. And so we decided to investigate and to see how big the problem was. We had various statistics. The main one was 30 a month, but it can be up to 100, depending on the month. I believe our national statistics were anything from 500 to 900 a year, but that is only those that are reported. Many of the babies are put in plastic bags so they're never found, and they're dumped in dirt boxes. They put on manhole covers. I remember nursing a man who needed treatment because of the trauma of having to go down the manhole covers and disengage babies from the machinery. So the problem was very large, and we've been trying to get the message out to the girls that there is an alternative, and asking them not to kill their babies or to dispose of them in various ways. So we prayed about it as a church, and I came up with this idea of thinking, now if the girls were going to dump them, rather let them bring it to the church. So we designed this stainless steel bin, which looks like a post box, I suppose, a big large post box, which could probably hold two babies. And I got a friend to do it. He wasn't so keen in the beginning because they thought, you know, what are we doing here, getting babies dumped in bins? And then slowly it progressed. He made the bin for me, and then I kind of thought about it and thought, well, how are we going to know the baby's there? And especially with our cold winters coming, we thought maybe the baby would be dead, and that would be very traumatic to open the bin and find a dead baby. So we designed a polystyrene base with little sensors, and we installed that. A couple of my guys are quite good at that in the church, and they installed that. And so therefore, as soon as the baby comes into the bin, the bell goes off in the house, and the person in the house who's there 24 hours a day comes out and fetches the baby. So within 2 minutes, the baby's inside.
You mentioned something that led me to ask you this question. The idea of providing a place for young women to dispose of their babies, safe as it is, could be very controversial. And I suppose that you've gotten some criticism from some sources. Is that true? And if so, how have you answered that criticism?
We have been accused of encouraging abandonment by various people. Some people are quite angry that we're doing that. We felt that we were trying to reach the people in our own area who were already dumping their babies. The problem is there. It's a reality. We can't run away from it and pretend it's not there. And so this was an offering them an alternative. And our main purpose and aim was to save the lives of babies. Now, when I was at home here working one day, a bird flew into my window, and the poor little thing landed on the table outside and lay there looking really bad, and I thought maybe it would die. The heart was fluttering, etc. And after a while, it managed to recover itself, but it took quite a while. After a longer time, it managed to get up and fly into a bush and sat there for another hour. And I then thought of the words of Jesus, where he said about the sparrows falling to the ground and your Father knows about them, and of how much more worth are you than many sparrows or than two sparrows. And it just came to me that we'd thought about it, and many people think, well, maybe because most of the babies would have AIDS, it's better if they died. But I realized that the compassion and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, even knowing the birds that fall to the ground, how much more a life that he has created, watching it gasp away its life in a dirt box or in a plastic bag. And so therefore, I believe the love and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ drove us to find some way to save those babies. We have a problem in that the people we want to reach are not always aware that there is an alternative. And so therefore, we've put up posters and handed out leaflets, but we still haven't reached the people we're trying to reach. And so we've been praying and asking the Lord to give us another way of actually reaching these ladies. So basically, that's why we're doing it. The main purpose is to save lives.
You know, I think if you're sitting at home in a comfortable chair listening to this program, it might be a little difficult to understand the level of desperation that exists in the heart of this city. I knew that there were problems in Johannesburg, but really, even though I had been here several days, it was not until today when I walked around the heart of Hillbrow, which I suppose is about as tough an area as there is in Johannesburg, which is a city, I understand, of about 8 million people, and saw, I tell you, some of the worst sights I've seen in the heart of a city anywhere in the world. I got this sense of a total desperation and hopelessness. Drugs, prostitution, everything you can possibly imagine. And I think that today, if there was ever any question in my mind, which there really wasn't, about the necessity of the ministry that you have, today's experience would have dispelled that doubt. Speak just a little bit more about the desperation in the city, because I think it's very difficult for people who can't see it to understand it.
I think there's about 90% unemployment in Hillbrow and in that whole area. So people are desperate for jobs. We've got a problem between other countries, people coming from other countries, and our own nationals. And so there's often fighting on the street because they're wanting to sell things, hawkers, etc., and they're not wanting the foreigners to take their job opportunities. So there is that tension and that strife already. People are desperate because they're out of work. They're not able to come by money legally many times. Many of them try and they buy things and sell them for a profit and try and eke a living out that way. Then a lot of youngsters come to the city looking for whatever, big time, and eventually get drawn into the drug situation. You've got foreigners coming in and trying to cash in and make big money, which they do, selling drugs. You've got the prostitutes who ply their trade, and so altogether, everybody's trying to make a living. So the situations get pretty desperate on the streets.
I have to say that when I was walking around today in that area, I was not permitted to carry a bag. I had a bag with my camera in it and recorder, and I thought, well, maybe I'll have an opportunity to do a little recording and maybe take a picture or two. It was too dangerous for me to have a bag. I was also frisked 3 times going into buildings just to make sure that I did not have a weapon with me. And I saw signs warning people that they could not bring this kind of weapon or that kind of weapon or this object or that object and on and on and on into the building. It was absolutely a war zone. And as I said before, I really didn't realize how desperate the situation was.
Our mortuary had to close down because they couldn't contain all the bodies anymore. They said there were 8 being shot a night. And I think that's putting it very mildly, because I took a lady home from Bible study, and what we do is we ride up in one of those war zone areas, and they'd just thrown everybody out of one of the buildings because they hadn't paid their rent for so long. And 3 had been shot on her street just that day. And so you had to zigzag your way through people and traffic, find a gap, she'd get out and run for her block of flats, and then I'd make sure I had enough space to get out before anybody could hem me in. And so they'd actually shot 3. So the mortuary had closed down because they just couldn't hold any more bodies. I think, and that was only in one street, and we've still got 3 or 4 suburbs forming the inner city. And some of the areas are even worse than that. So it's pretty rough out there, yes.
It seems like an impossible situation, doesn't it? Well, hold on. God-sized solutions are just beginning. We'll be back with more of how the whole project began after this word from Norm.
My friend, did you know that you can save a baby's life today by making a contribution to our compassion project known as the Door of Hope? Close to 1,000 little lives have been saved. Isn't that incredible? And approximately 60 infants in a month are abandoned by desperate mothers and found in garbage dumpsters, in toilets, storm drains, shoeboxes, along roadsides, and in city parks. Now you may ask, how could a mother do such a thing? I do know this. 2 things are certain. 1, the babies are blameless victims. And 2, the babies deserve a chance at life. Cheryl Allen, who was then the pastor of the small Berea Baptist Church in the Berea Hillbrow area of Johannesburg, one of the most dangerous areas in the city, couldn't turn away once she was aware of this terrible situation. Church members had cut a hole through the high wall that protects the church's property in this very tough neighborhood. They had placed a padded bin inside that hole. They wired the bin so that an alarm sounded in the church compound when even the tiniest baby was placed in it. And then they hung hinged doors over the bin. The outside door read, "The Door of Hope." And when the alarm sounded, personnel in the church rushed out to the bin and they rescued the babies. Well, it worked. Babies began to appear in the Door of Hope. In fact, it worked so well that soon there were too many babies to care for within the small house on the church property. And that's where this ministry, Compassion Radio, became involved. We committed to raise enough money for the Door of Hope to purchase a home in a safe, clean suburb where the growing number of toddlers could be accommodated and cared for. We didn't have the money, but we made the pledge. And thanks to compassionate partners just like you, we raised the money that was needed for the Door of Hope first baby house. At that time, less than 100 babies had been rescued. Today, a second and a third house have been added. In addition, the majority of those babies have been adopted by Christian families in South Africa, and they're being raised to serve the Lord and affect the future of South Africa. My friend, it doesn't get any better than this. Now, wouldn't you like to be a part of this great story? And that means a need for more baby food and diapers, more clothing, more baby bottles, more blankets, more medical supplies, more everything in order to provide the very best in baby and child care and to keep the baby houses in tip-top shape. What I'm doing today is inviting you to take a simple action of compassion and to send the best contribution that you can send to rescue little ones who have been knit together by God and allowed by Him to breathe the breath of life. Your gift can provide for the basic care of one baby for 1 month. I just hope that you'll consider how valuable these abandoned little babies are to our Heavenly Father. He loves each one. So, will you love and care for them as He does? Oh, be a part of the Door of Hope Project. Send your gift today and know that God will be pleased.
Just give us a call today. The number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. And now back to Norm and Cheryl Allen.
We took a young woman from your church home so she wouldn't have to walk the streets to get home. And when we took her to this hotel where she lives, she had to enter the building through an absolute gang full of prostitutes. Very obvious out in front. And this is a Christian young woman, but she has no place else to live and is so desperate for a place to live, for lack of money and so forth, that she has to live in a place like that. And once again, it just came home to me what a desperate place this is. So the service that you are providing, rescue, you really are rescuing these babies, is, I think, absolutely essential. Do you remember the first baby that came to you in the Door of Hope?
Yes, her name is Courtney. She didn't have a name at the time, obviously, when we got her. Her mother had taken her to town, and in one of our main streets, she'd gone to a toilet and asked one of the girls just to hold her baby while she went. And, of course, she never returned for the baby. So the girl waited and realized she wasn't coming back after she'd looked for her and took her to the local police station. And they called the Child Protection Unit, who then phoned me, and I went to go and fetch her. It was a Saturday afternoon. She weighed 1.3 kilos. She was supposed to be 2 months old. She had sunken cheeks. She was very, very small, obviously, and thin. The thing that struck me was that she had little green knitted socks on and a little knitted blanket. And it looked like the mother had really tried to care for her. And when I took her to the doctor, we actually took her back to the church. Fortunately, the doctor was there with me at a meeting, and we realized that the baby was going hypothermic and had actually gone unconscious. And so we actually put the baby up underneath her blouse, and she rushed it through to the hospital where they wrapped it in a silver blanket. Then she took it to her home. So she nurses my prems for me until they, you know, get to a decent weight, and then she brings them back to us at the church. And so that little baby, she said, probably would have died if the mother had not given her away. And when she examined her, she said the mother must have been under tremendous stress and various stress factors. The mother must have been very malnourished and obviously had no more food to feed herself or the baby. And I believe that's why she gave her away. She did try to look after her. And so I realized, and another baby came in a bit later as well, 1.6 kilos, also about 2 months old, very, very thin, obviously.
Excuse me, 1.6 kilos would be how much in pounds, roughly?
About 4 pounds, maybe. 3.5 to 4 pounds. So they're not supposed to be out of the hospital under 2.2 kilos, because that's very prim. So the mothers had, in both instances, tried to care for the child, had given it away, I believe, because on the streets, to get 34 rand for a tin of baby food is way beyond most people's means. They don't have that money even for bread. So to actually keep a baby on formula, you're not going to make it. And I believe that both of those cases, the mothers gave them away because they loved the babies, not because they didn't love them. There are other cases, obviously, where they don't want the babies. But in that case, and I believe, therefore, we are providing a service or a lifeline for people who cannot cope with looking after their children for various factors.
Well, did you notice that Cheryl just used the word lifeline to describe the Door of Hope ministry? Please hold that word in your mind for just a few moments and let it sink into your consciousness. You see, the Door of Hope project that we have taken on is about saving the lives of babies. Your participation in this project will make you a link in the lifeline that's rescuing helpless infants from the garbage bins and sewers and roadsides where they would otherwise die. It can't get more basic than that. Let the Lord speak to you now as you hear our own Steve Amerson remind us to pray for the children.
We can teach them to speak a simple prayer before they go to sleep. Mommy and Daddy, and pray the Lord my soul to keep. But the child of prayers that could mean the most might be spoken by Mommy and Dad as they pray for wisdom to guide this life that has been placed within their hands. The prayers that you've said, pray for direction, pray for protection, pray for the children. There will come a time as our children grow when they they can't turn and run for home, but we still can touch our children's lives as we speak their name in prayer. And no matter the distance between us, our prayers can reach them anywhere. Pray for the children and pray for their future. Pray for the days that lie ahead, for soon they will step out of your reach, but they can never escape all the prayers that you've said. Pray for direction, pray for protection, pray. Break the boundaries of time and reach into eternity, and our children will live in the atmosphere of the prayers that we have breathed. Pray for the children, pray for their future. Pray for the days that lie ahead, for soon they will step out of your reach, but they can never escape all the prayers that you said. Pray for direction and pray for protection. Pray.
We're asking you to help keep the Door of Hope going. Now, some people say that we shouldn't beg for money, but in this case, they're wrong. So right now, I am begging you, do what you know you want to do and send your gift of support today. That's who you are. And remember, God will be pleased as you do His work today.
And this broadcast is from our vast program archive. You know, we can't succeed without your faithful prayer and financial support. Friend, will you help us make 2017 the best year of outreach in our 73-year history? Please call today with your gifts, encouragements, and prayer requests at 1-800-868-2478. That's toll-free, 800-868-2478. Or make your gift online at CompassionRadio.com. You can also reach us by writing Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. On behalf of Norm, Cher, Bram, and the team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll see you again tomorrow with more Compassion Radio.